in the night. Your heart fills with dread, probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who?
Hello and welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. It is Friday, August 21st, and wherever you're
it's
at,
hot as shit.
We hope you're doing well. You haven't melted.
I can't believe how hot it is here, and it's the end of August.
I think it's coming, coming down the pipeline. It's got to be. There's got to be rain on the horizon. I saw candles shaped like pumpkin pie and spicy, what do you call it, apple cider vinegar and whatnot at Michael's. So I feel like it's time. There's pumpkins and skulls out.
Yeah.
Drag us
I
into
can't
fall.
Get into it until the weather chills.
Yeah, no, if you put a pumpkin pie candle in the back of your car, it will be a wax pile in the back of your car.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You got to go straight home from Michael's.
You got to go straight home. And it's just too hot to even go outside to decorate.
It is definitely toasty. Paris and I realized there are some significant weeds we're going to have to dig out of the front yard. And we're like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. Is that when we do it? We just have a fun, you know, it's like go out, put some headlamps on and start yanking. That's what everybody's fun Friday night
yank
is.
Yank as the sun rises.
Yeah, yank yourself till the sun comes up. Oh, man. Well, you got a sexy voice. I love it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, this is... When your kids go back to school, you just are sick for the next 6 months.
They're like, why don't you just dunk your head in this germ bucket? It will be faster. You're like, no, I'd prefer it to be just a little a week every week until Christmas. Yes.
When Ella, we first had a child that went to school, we were shocked at how sick everyone was all
immediately.
The time. Yeah, immediately. Really. And then one person gets over it, but then immediately someone else gets it. And then once everyone's better, a new thing is introduced. So it's just, I guess it's how you build your immune system. It's a survival of the fittest situation.
You get stronger and stronger with each hacking or whatever they... I feel like nowadays there's so many new viruses and kids have it and they just... Everybody's playing next to each other. We can't know. So it's
COVID's on in another uptick.
It's not leaving. It's
not
coming back.
It's not done, everybody. It's like said, Flair bitches forgot about me, and it's a comeback.
It's just Juicy Couture tracksuits, COVID, and Flair jeans are all coming back, baby.
All of it.
Oh, man. Well, we hope none of y'all have it, and thank you all for sending these stories in this week.
Yeah. For clarification, I also do not have it.
No, no.
But I just was reading how... There's an uptick in strep throat and COVID right now. And I'm like, God damn, to have either of those here where it's literally 102 degrees right now, something insane. Just what a miserable. Oh, actually, it's dropped to 96. So
yeah, it was 90 something earlier.
It's actually breezy right now. It's cool.
Breezy 94. Out for a walk. It's lovely. No, you're right, because you don't want to drink hot stuff.
No.
You do want to drink hot stuff for a sore throat, but not in the summer. But my friend was just telling me she loves teas, all kinds of teas. And she was saying that some countries that are particularly hot, they do drink hot tea in the heat because it actually does something to your body when you drink the hot liquid that it causes your body to cool down. I can't exactly remember the description, but there might be something to it. So maybe we'll all just go make a cuppa and cool ourselves down with a cuppa.
I had a bunch of noodle soup, so
that
was hot. But it was good.
Just
got it,
eating.
Yeah, got it on the tube.
You eating chicken noodle soup is hot.
This noise.
Tommy's just like, watch her soak them noodles.
Oh, I sound like I've been one of the Marge Simpson sisters. I can't think of their
Patty
names.
Patty and Selma.
Yeah, I sound like one of them.
Or like, I always think it's like Kathleen Turner where it's like, come on, darling, let's go.
Come
Vegas.
On, let's go.
Yeah, I love Kathleen Turner.
Well, now everyone gets to listen to some sad stories read in this voice.
Sorry, but thank you for sending them, and thank you. Please enjoy the sexy Phoebe Buffay voice.
Oh my gosh, yeah, and we're starting off strong with this content warning, which, goddamn, sometimes you can't plan for what you already have, and then you get sick. So, you know,
you
just have to. roll with the punches. Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. This first one is from Anonymous and is called, I found my missing husband from 2,000 miles away. Content warning, this discusses suicide. Anonymous writes, first of all, I can't thank you enough for what you do. I found you through the Denver Airport episode and have been binging your back catalog ever since. Let's get into it. Where do I begin? My husband left here from southern Indiana, heading many states away. On my first day off since his departure, I pulled into the driveway, and in the midst of parking, my breath was taken away. I've had some premonitions before, but nothing like this had ever happened. I was paralyzed with the sense that something was very, very wrong. I immediately called my husband, and it went straight to voicemail. My heart sank. I called several friends and family who told me I was overreacting, and then I called the police and filed a missing person report. They sent an officer to my house and eventually, over 2,000 miles away, sent out a search party, including dogs and drones. It felt like I was in a movie. Looking back, it was a blur. He had several AirTags on him connected to our laptop. For those not familiar, AirTags are small tracking devices by Apple that help users locate lost items. They work by using Bluetooth technology to connect with nearby Apple devices. So in order for his to show his location to me on our laptop, they must be within range of an Apple device. I obsessively watched for the AirTags to update, and they didn't. His last known location was in a huge, densely wooded area. The detectives kept asking me about where he would go within this wooded area, but I didn't know. After 5 days of searching, the detective I'd been working with informed me there was a marathon over the weekend happening within the vicinity. We were hopeful one of the runners would have an Apple device that would activate my husband's AirTag, and it did. My husband's location popped up on the laptop. He was right there, right there. I called the detective and they headed out. It was almost a 2-mile hike, but he was found after 5 days and nights of searching. I'd had various family members in and out during this time, and my mom happened to be with me at this time. After what felt like forever, the detective called. They found him. What I didn't include before this is 5 days earlier, they found his abandoned car at a trailhead in the city we lived in for 10 years. There was a receipt for a gun in the car. I also found a note at our house. Here's the conversation with the detective I'll never forget. Detective, we found him. Me, is he dead? Detective, yes, sorry for your loss. My husband completed suicide. It's been almost a year. You genuinely cannot imagine what it's like for the person you love most in the world to be missing, and then find out it is so much worse than that. The love of my life took his life after stopping an antidepressant that was prescribed as a sleeping aid. I was at his appointments. We were never told this was anything but a sleeping aid, and he was exactly within the withdrawal window of this medication after he stopped. The pain of losing your spouse is absolutely indescribable. Heather and Christy, you pulled me out of the depths of depression. I cannot thank you enough for being my friends through the darkest time in my life. By the way, he was originally from Texas. I never heard anyone else say, "Tump over," besides him until Heather. I laughed and then I cried. You gals are the best. Attached is a photo of the two of us.
Anonymous, I am so sorry. You, indescribable is right. Anytime I've been with people trying to, you know, console them with that spouse loss, it's something that is, especially your best friend that you feel so connected to, it is truly a huge, it's like a part of your heart's gone. So I'm so sorry.
Absolutely.
You're going through that.
Yeah. That is, so very tragic. I'm so sorry. And what a great example of, my gut is telling me something's terribly wrong, and you knew him better than anyone else, even 2,000 miles away. You're like, no, something isn't right. And then, of course, if you find a note and they find his car, your mind just goes to the worst places. I'd never really considered something like a marathon where there's other people could activate a person's AirTag. I don't think I realized they worked like that.
Yeah, I can't. I think the I figured that out only when I had put AirTags on the dogs and they got out one day and I was like looking, and it wasn't until they like got close enough to a neighbor that then the AirTag updated and the neighbors brought them back. And I didn't, it's kind of like a little handoff network. So even when you're just walking around with your phone, you're kind of helping AirTags theoretically. It was the same. I think Tile, you had to have the Tile app. It was kind of similar. It could help them update. You kind of work with a network of folks, but yeah, you don't realize a marathon like that might be the break that you need.
What a great detective to realize that's happening and put two and two together. Like, this might be how we find him, just glued to a laptop, just hoping for a ping. I'm so, so sorry. And you mentioned he was in withdrawal. You also mentioned the drug to us, which we're not going to disclose. I've taken that drug. I've never been in withdrawal of that one. I have of other SSRIs and antidepressants, and it is no joke. Mm-hmm. You feel out of your body, like you're not yourself. You just want to crawl out of your skin. It's a really hard experience to describe unless you've had it happen. And my heart goes out to you because, I mean, I think we're seeing more and more every day, especially with trials that are going on, that like mental health just isn't really people that are going through distress are not looked after and cared for the way that we would like them to be.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of times finances keep people away from it, or you know, the studies to know how different medications interact with different body types and styles and things like that. But I don't have any personal experience, but hearing the descriptions of experts talking about people's diary entries and things like that. And I'm so sorry your provider didn't, you know, warn you. You should make somebody aware. Not only is this a sleeping aid, it also gets prescribed for these things. Here is stuff to look out for. Because I think any of us, when you get a prescription filled, they're like, here's a booklet that the font is like 0.2.
Who has ever read that?
Yeah. And it's like, it's unfolds like a crazy map and it's the tiniest font ever. It's like, that's not going to help anyone. So
no.
I'm so sorry that your provider didn't do more.
Yeah. Especially if you're taking a drug for anxiety or antidepression or something and you're like, you expect me to read this tiny little pamphlet when I'm going through it?
You're like, you need this medication for ADHD. I need you to sit down and lock in before you take it and read 1,000 words. You're just like, I'm not going to do that. No. So I thank you for sharing your story with us. And that I think that gut feeling you had was just a testament to your connection.
Yeah, that's a beautiful way to put it. I'm so sorry for the loss of your husband. I'm glad that your mom was there when you got the news, and the picture of the two of you. You look beautiful and happy. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. When it is hot outside and it's time for me to go to sleep at night, the air conditioner can do as much as it's going to do, and it's trying its best. And so I have my fans all set up, and then I realize I don't need to be doing so much because I have Boll & Branch sheets, which are breathable, lightweight, cool sheets, and my dream comforter. I don't feel like it's heavy. It's not making me sweat all night. So if you got the wrong sheets, you're going to be Dutch ovening yourself, burning up yourself with your own methane gases of your body. And I'm telling you, get the breathability and deliciousness of Boll & Branch so you're not sleeping under the heat of a trapped
fart.
I mean, it feels like it in a way.
Yeah, it can in this heat. I also have the Dream Comforter. I love it so much. We actually switched that out with our feather down comforter that we have the rosewood, beautiful duvet cover on that one, just because the Dream Comforter's lighter and it's so hot right now. So I love that we have ones to switch out. And I've tried pretty much, I think, all the sheets that they have. I think we have a set of all of them. The signature hemmed ones, the percale, the feather down decorative pillow insert for our lumbar pillows. We got it all covered. And it's head to toe Boll & Branch. And that's why my bed's my favorite place on earth.
And it's why you're not sweating your ass off while you're on your favorite place on earth. They don't have the cooling technology or the chemicals. The cooling for the Boll & Branch is structural. It's up in there how the cotton is woven. 94% of customers say their sheets get softer with every wash. Get like us and get the stop sweating at night. Sleep cool. Sleep cooler this summer with Boll & Branch. Get 15% off your first order plus free shipping at bollandbranch.com/creepy with code creepy.
That's Boll & Branch, B-O-L-L-A-N-D, branch.com/creepy. Code creepy to unlock 15% off. Bollandbranch.com/creepy. Code creepy. Exclusions apply. Content warning, this discusses sexual assault. This next one, also from Anonymous. And it's called, My Mother-in-Law Got Pete Buttigieg's Kids Taken Away for 24 Hours. I want to say really quickly that I love you both and the empathy with which you share our stories does not go unnoticed. I appreciate everything you and your team do to connect our sinisterhood community. Thank you so much. That was me. Now let's get freaky. Anonymous continues. I will not be releasing actual names of anyone since the woman's name has not been released in the media that I know of. For the sake of this story, we will call her Kathy. I want to give you some background information on her. I do not condone what she did by any means, but by the end of this story, I hope to provide a little more context behind why she did it. For those who don't know, on June 26, 2026, a false report was made to CPS about Pete Buttigieg abusing his kids. This led to his and his husband's four-year-old twins being taken from their home and placed with their grandparents for 24 hours. The report claimed that during a conference in Alabama, Pete confessed to this woman that he had done terrible things to his children and that SA was involved. Kathy was the source of this false accusation. Pete has said he's never even been to Alabama. When the CPS investigation was over, they concluded that the allegations were obviously false and returned their two children to their fathers. I've attached an article from NPR if you'd like to read more. Kathy is currently in a drug rehab facility. When asked by the director of the rehab where this supposed conference took place, she claimed it was at a budget inn, a low-end motel. She used to live there years ago, but hasn't for some time. Kathy is my mother-in-law, and I've known her for as long as I've been with my wife of 10 years. Kathy, unfortunately, suffers from a number of mental health issues. These began before she ever started using drugs in her early teenage years. Some of these include schizophrenia, depression, bipolar disorder, unsure of whether it's one or two, and insomnia. She's on several medications for these things, but her voices never truly go away. She nearly had a meltdown the last time due to the medication she was on. I've never seen her so sad. She has religious delusions where she believes that she is God and me, my wife, and her sisters are her angels. She wholeheartedly believes that we have killed pedophiles in her name. While I despise people who prey on children as much as the next sane person, I've never killed or harmed anyone. We've tried telling her that these are delusions, but she won't listen to reason. She also believes that she is heavenly involved in pulling the strings of our government. She's told us about plenty of, quote, conversations in the spirit she's had with Vladimir Putin, Donald Trump, Barack Obama, Kim Jong-un, and the Pope, just to name a few. She does send actual emails to a lot of public officials' offices. I have no clue what she says or if anyone actually replies to her. She's been admitted to many psychiatric hospitals, and they all say the same thing. They believe she is mentally competent enough to leave on her own free will. Whatever evaluations they conduct, she knows how to pass them. I remember one time she was living with my wife and I, and we took her to a psych appointment. She told us she couldn't be God in front of those people. She had to be just Kathy. We tried to get power of attorney so we could get her actual help, but she is technically married to an absent husband. They abused drugs together when they were living together, and he has since disappeared. From what I've been told, we would need him to sign some paperwork, along with all six of Kathy's children, to gain power of attorney. Due to her declining mental state and drug abuse problems, Kathy has spent a good amount of time on the streets by her own choice. With that comes opportunities for many people, but especially men, to take advantage of her. She's been sexually assaulted multiple times. I believe that her real experiences, combined with her schizophrenia, has led her to believe that many people are predators when they're not. As much as I hate to say it, she's also falsely accused people of essaying her and her fully grown kids. She's never gone this far, though. Now back to Pete Buttigieg. I really don't know why she targeted this specific man. I know people speculated about whether it's because he's gay, but she doesn't have a problem with the gay community. At least half her kids are queer, and she doesn't care. She shouldn't have made the report in the first place, but the timing was especially bad. I don't think she was even aware that June 26th was the day that same-sex marriage became legal nationwide in the U.S. My wife and I are currently no contact with her, in hopes that she'll complete the rehab program. Every time she goes to rehab and gets in contact, she wants to leave and come home with us. It doesn't help. We're hoping that a bit of tough love will make her stay. Kathy needs a lot more help than just drug rehab. Her mind isn't wired the same way ours are. She cannot recognize what is real and what's not. As far as I know, no charges are being filed. The police did speak with the rehab director about Kathy's mental state. I don't believe she'd be mentally competent to stand trial, although she has no remorse for what she did. She still believes she's right. I was hoping this would lead to her getting actual help from the state, but it hasn't. The mental health care system has failed Kathy time and time again. If Heather has any legal advice for how to get her the help she needs, I'd love to hear it. My heart goes out to Pete and his family. I'm truly sorry for the trauma my mother-in-law has caused. She is to blame, but the fault does not lie only with her. Well, well, this is, man, I remember this happening. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, about 2 months ago. I remember at the time, too, Pete, it came out and said it was the darkest hours of their lives to have their kids ripped from them, even though they got to go with their grandparents, being four-year-olds and being questioned, forensically questioned by experts. You know, he, as Pete said, I don't know who these people, like, they don't know, the kids don't know that I'm anybody. I'm their dad.
Right.
And they don't know who these guys in jackets are coming to take them away. They're scary. And so he did. And rightfully so, I think, point out this is, you know, on a day like today. And he said, I can't help but notice it happened right after my family, you know, shared photos on social media. But that's the other problem. When somebody's like Kathy is struggling, you, the target, have no idea that it pretty much has nothing to do with you, Pete. Like, it's that does not take away the impact, the effect, especially the effect on his children who had nothing to do with it. But just from that perspective of, oh, they must be targeting me because of whatever, this must be my fault. And it's just literally you're a name she knew.
Yeah. I mean, especially when Anonymous mentions other political and religious leaders that she's reached out to. So I don't think it's as personal as he thinks it is. Unfortunately, yes, it happened on a day that it couldn't have been a worse day to happen. Mm-hmm. Perhaps that was just a coincidence. Mm-hmm. It's so hard when a family member, you're just like, I can't make you get help. Mm-hmm. Because they at times do know how to trick the system, and they know, like, enough to say in these interviews something that gets them, you know, not admitted.
No, it's true. It's the question of, like, are you competent to leave the facility is a different question than are you competent to manage all of your affairs? Yeah. And to answer your question, Anonymous, I'm not sure if you're in Alabama. That was the only state I heard mentioned. Pete and his husband are in Michigan. I know Texas law, but generally speaking, a person like Kathy, who, you know, can be medication not compliant, doing things that's now you're showing she's endangering random kids that she doesn't know, you know, next time she calls in a bomb threat or she calls in something, there ends up being a stampede and people get, you know, hurt. So a situation like this, the guardianship would be probably the best. I don't advocate for guardianships unless you've looked at all the least restrictive alternatives. And in fact, in Texas and in Alabama and other states, you have to prove to the court, we tried a power of attorney. We tried supported decision making. We've tried whatever. She won't do these things. And so we've also talked to these five doctors. This is why they let her out. This is why other doctors think. So you kind of need an experienced guardianship attorney, and you can look in your area. In Texas, you have to take extra classes and be certified to be a guardianship attorney, because you are taking away someone's right. You're turning an adult essentially legally back into a child, where then they would have a guardian like a kid. And so I think the court's going to ask you, what all have you done? The whole, you know, having to have other people sign, that sounds like either really specific to your state or maybe a misunderstanding of how something got explained to you guys. But usually wherever you're at, there's a bar, you know, the state bar or the county bar, and they always have some nice gal or guy who's going to answer the phone, and you say, hey, do you have any, an attorney referral line or something like that, or search it, the bar association near you. And usually they can refer you to somebody, and the person, you know, will ask you questions and determine whether this is good, or maybe there's other types of decision-making agreements. But I'm so sorry you're going through that, because medication non-compliance, especially in something like schizophrenia or something where delusions can be hidden or suppressed almost. So the person appears functional, but they are not, they're in danger because you don't know when they might act on those delusions. I empathize with you sincerely. We have an extended family member who has struggled with schizophrenia and being medically not compliant. And it has, it is heart-wrenching and difficult. Yeah. Thankfully on the right track, doing better now, but.
And like you mentioned Anonymous, and to kind of piggyback on what you were just saying, Heather, there's a lot of truth of, like, if she is experiencing homelessness and living on the street, I have no doubt that she's been sexually assaulted multiple times. So there's that real thing that's happened. And then if you're in a delusional state and you're accusing people of essaying your adult kids who are of sound mind, and they're like, I know for a fact that didn't happen, so this is a delusion. It gets hard for doctors, law enforcement, whoever, to like parse out what's real and not real, which is very unfair to the person suffering and very frustrating to everyone involved. It's kind of a lose-lose situation.
No, and you're right. And in fact, that's a further argument for some type of mechanism to protect them, because we don't want people who are mentally ill being assaulted on the streets and hurting, being hurt repeatedly. In her case, she seems to be willing to take action where she thinks that there's some sort of a crime. So in this case, she called in, you know, swatted Pete Buttigieg. And again, you said, well, Anonymous, oh, she thinks we kill pedophiles on her behalf. So I'm not saying she's going to escalate to harm someone that she thinks is a pedophile, but when you're using terminology like that, and then you start pointing to people who you think are pedophiles, and you think, so all that to say, it is not something that that you should feel like you should have to handle on your own. Usually Texas, like any of the legal aides in Texas would talk with you on the phone, or there's legal aides across the country. So wherever you're at, and just get on the horn and tell them what's going on. And they might be able to just give you an idea of, like, well, you know, she doesn't sound so much, like, she doesn't sound like she's so incapacitated she needs a full guardianship. Maybe you just need to do guardianship over her medical situation. Or something like that. So it's very state determinative, but I don't want you to feel hopeless. So it is a high bar, because you want it to be a high bar, but it's not impossible.
And make sure you're taking care of your own mental health and your wife and all the rest of the family. It sounds like she has a lot of kids. This is very taxing on everyone that loves her. So it's so taxing to try and get help for her. Don't neglect your own help for yourself, because this is traumatic and sad for everybody.
It truly is. It's a lot to carry. And it's hard when you want to, especially a parent situation. And I kind of had this with, because I had some clients that were over the age of 60 of sound mind, some over the age of 60 that might have had a mental illness, but were controlled with medication. And I worked with the mental health resources attorney on those cases, because you want people to have autonomy, dignity, and to be able to make their own choices. But some of those clients, you know, we had agreements with their kids where before we make decisions, we would have the client, when they're of sound mind, sign that we can reveal and talk with their adult children and things like that. So when she's doing well and has the capacity to make those, you know, assisted decision-making agreements, multiple members of your family being able to kind of be in the room, you can kind of help people remain autonomous while making sure they're safe. So I'm so sorry. Yeah. Like Christy said, take care of you. Take care of you.
Yeah. And I hope that there's a positive outcome for this. I also haven't heard of any charges being pursued by Pete or his husband. So it's traumatic for anyone to have their kids taken by CPS, regardless if you're a political figure or not, even if you know they're going to your grandparents, because you don't know what this investigation might turn up that means they don't come back to your house.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm glad it was figured out and those kids got back to their dads very quickly. And it seems like no charges so far are being filed. So maybe that's a good thing on y'all's side. I don't know. Maybe it takes something like charges being filed to, like you said, kind of tough love. But I don't know if someone in that mental state really understands tough love.
Yeah. And are they going to, is it going to help them, or they're going to say, no, I didn't. I'm sorry. I was mistaken. I heard that's not true. You know, if she can mask the delusions and say, I can't be God with them. So that's, I'm sorry that you're dealing with that, where she almost has an awareness such that she can turn it off and turn it on, which is a whole other type of challenge.
So, yeah, for sure.
For sure.
Well, we wish you the best and your mother-in-law the best.
Certainly. Sinister Hood will be right back.
When we were kids, summer meant freedom. No homework, no teachers, no school. And as adults, summer still means freedom thanks to Mint Mobile's summer sale. Right now, all of Mint's plans are $15 per month, even unlimited. So free yourself from big wireless and their gimmicks and gotchas and switch to Mint for high-speed data and coverage on the T-Mobile 5G network.
When you use Mint Mobile like we have for the show phone, it could not be easier to set up. You use your phone, you just plug in. It's so, they use the website. It could take 10 minutes or less. I was shocked, honestly. I thought, oh, it has to do with wireless. It's going to be horrific and a pain. It's like worse than getting a tooth removed. But with Mint, it was easy. And then the coverage was excellent. The speeds, the data speeds were fast. Never once dropped a call. Mint Mobile took everything wrong with wireless and made it right. With premium wireless plans starting at just $15 a month, like I said, your phone number, and you can choose from 3, 6, or 12 month plans so you can say goodbye to that monthly bill. Ditch your overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile. It's so easy. You sign up online. You get 3 months of premium wireless services for $15 a month.
Who doesn't want to save money?
I
think everybody right now would love to save. Even a buck counts. So to have a $15 a month cell phone bill, yes, please. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/sinisterhood. That's mintmobile.com/sinisterhood. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/sinisterhood. That's it. There's no catch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 months, $90 for 6 months, or $180 for 12-month plan required. $15 per month equivalent. Taxes and fees extra. Initial plan term only. Greater than 50 gigs may slow when network is busy. Includes up to 20 gig hotspot. Capable device required. Availability, speed, and coverage varies. See mintmobile.com.
Well, this next one is from Haley and is called "A Serial Killer Was a Patient of My Dad." Oh, hello. Long time, first time. My dad loved singing, and when he was in college attending OSU dental program, he was in a singing group called something like Santa and the Nutcrackers. They wore very tight jeans. They toured around Christmas time and sang Christmas songs, obviously. They toured around the OSU area and even performed at Oregon State Penitentiary. This would be in the 1970s. When some of the inmates found out my dad and a couple of the other performers were dental students, they almost begged them to work at the prison because the resident dentist was a, quote, brute. So the program of dental students working on inmates began. One day, when my dad was at the prison, they locked down the dental area because serial killer Jerome Brutos was the next patient. My dad did his usual cleaning and sent him on his way. He said he was the slimiest man he's ever met. Just a really gross feeling when he was around him. Some of the inmates found out my dad had done his cleaning and excitedly asked him if he gave his gums an extra jab. My dad, who takes his oath as a doctor and healthcare provider very seriously, said no. He treated him as he would any patient. Nothing more to this story, but it was crazy to hear that my dad had his fingers in a serial killer's mouth. Thanks for reading, Haley.
Whoa, not, that's a Jerry Brudos is an extreme necrophile, bound, photographed, strangled. He killed Linda Slauson, Jan Whitney, Karen Sprinkler, and Linda Solly. I believe he confessed to three of them, and then they attached one of them later. He's dead now, thankfully. He's been dead for about 20 years, but
I believe died of cancer in prison.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just an eerie guy to think about.
Yeah, very creepy.
He kept the body parts. He would keep their breasts as trophies and dress the body parts up in items and stuff. And just the kind of person that you would feel a chill when they come in the room.
And other than performing surgery, and maybe even not that, because the person is probably out on anesthesia. Mm-hmm. You're like face to face. A dentist is like so close to your face, and then it's so like personal to have your fingers in cleaning those teeth.
Mm-hmm. Put your fingers.
Those teeth that have done God knows what.
For real. And his hands and his whole everything, his whole head, the mouth that said the most horrific things, I'm sure.
And the hands that I believe most of the women were killed by strangulation.
I think so, yeah. And yeah, sexually assaulted then, as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So necrophilia was a big part of his MO too.
And which, the parts.
Man, kudos to your dad for being like, I'm a doctor. I take this so seriously. I'm not going to just pull all this guy's teeth out because of what he did.
No one would have been mad if you got the drill out for the cleaning, I don't think. But that is that's the oath, and you want to do it the right way and take your career seriously. I love that Santa and the Nutcrackers were responsible for the inmate dental program, because I think all inmates, perhaps except Jerry Brudos, deserve access to good, thoughtful dentists that are not being brutes and stabbing them in the mouth. So shout out to your dad for being an awesome dentist.
And shout out to that singing group named Santa and the Nutcrackers is great. Like, and you gotta wear the tight jeans, of course.
Nutcrackers wearing nut huggers, baby. That's the uniform. That's what, before you join the group, they're like, can you sing? Are you alto, soprano, tenor? And can we paint some jeans on you?
Earlier, Simon said, I'm gonna kick you in the nuts. I said, well, joke's on you, because I don't have nuts. And I just walked out of the room.
You're like, deal with that. You know how you can tell? Because of this invisible woman that you can see in her insides.
Oh, we all got to see on the live stream last night the wonderful biologic chemistry.
Oh, she just fell apart.
Oh my God.
Her brain just fell out.
Hard relate. Her head and brain just fell off.
I think we lost the spleen. Well,
oh, no.
I'm gonna learn the full makeup of inside of her, because all of her bits just fell.
Yeah.
I think this is a liver.
That's maybe. Not the heart.
Maybe it's the heart. I don't know my part.
Looks like valves.
It looks like the other half of the heart. So I think I got to put the heart together. Well, that'll be my project when we're done with this episode, is putting this gallbladder or whatever it is back in.
If you're wondering what we're talking about, you can watch that whole thing that just happened on YouTube.
I'm going to tell Paris to clip it out and just be like, body fail. Make it its own clip.
But it's a very anatomically correct plastic figure of that you can see through. So you see all the organs and whatnot. And it's very helpful for you if you need to learn where everything is. Now you got to make sure you put everything back where it goes, or you might start thinking your brain's in your butt.
You know, if you put your brain in your gut, or I have the, it also comes with the baby fetus in the, you know, in an extra box that's optional. It's just optional.
It's optional.
Just keep it in a box.
Maybe
until
she doesn't want to be a mother, and that's fine.
Just until she's ready. Just until she's ready. Well, oh man, what a time. Well, I'm glad you, not only did you teach Simon today, but then I can bring this over and we can reassemble it together.
You can show him, look, all the parts. Your mom doesn't have nuts.
No nuts.
So stop telling her you're going to kick her in him, because he does all the time, but in a funny way.
Yeah.
Or he'll, and
it's
then,
like Cartman. I'll kick you in the nuts. That's what Cartman says. I'm going to kick you in the nuts.
He also, maybe over the past month, he's called me mommy still a handful of times. But his main name for me now, I could give you 100 guesses, and I don't think you could get any of them. But if you want to take a shot, go for it.
It's not a guess so much as a suggestion for the future. Buckaroo. My dad used to call his friends that.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, he'd go, when he'd answer, he'd go, hey, Buckaroo, which I just
Buckaroo's a good one. Bring I it like
back.
That.
Bring it back.
I will say the first syllable of what you just said is correct.
So buck? Bucko?
Buh.
Oh, buh. No.
Phonetically, I guess, not the whole.
Is it butthole?
Butt is in it. Yeah.
What is
not
it?
Whole.
Oh, man. Butthead.
Butt shaker ballerina.
Hell yeah.
The amount, like, all the time. I don't know
it's
where this came from.
Way better than butthead or hole.
Maybe it's from a show, but I'll just be like, hey, buddy, how's your day? It's good, butt shaker ballerina. How's your day? And I'm like, and then yesterday he drew a picture and he was like, mom, or I think he did call me mommy here. Look, it's you. And it was, first of all, I had brown hair, but okay, we won't nitpick. But he was like, it's a butt shaker ballerina. He's like, here's the butt. And he had drawn a front butt.
Okay.
So you could, much like your invisible lady,
could see
you
it.
Had to be able to see the crack of the butt, but it was drawn on the front.
Yeah.
So it just like, it looked like I had a C-section.
Yeah, just a big cut right
the line
front.
Was up high.
It was way too high in the front. You know what, though? That's the kind of artwork you keep. Fold that up and keep it in a box. But
I'll
and then
it.
Someday, 10 years from now, when Simon's like, I was going through the archives of Sinisterhood and butt shaker ballerina. I don't think I remember that. Or
oh, buddy.
It sticks, and he's still calling you that 10 years
yeah,
later.
Yeah, right? If you're listening, you know you did because you say it all the time.
No denying it, baby. We got it on recording.
Mm-hmm.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. You know that hoodie that you love that feels like a second skin? It's so soft. It feels good regardless of the weather, and it makes you feel grounded and happy. I'll tell you what I like to reach for. In these warm summer months, I like to sit under a cool vent with something soft like my Paka. That's a P-A-K-A for those of you writing it down at home. Don't miss it. If you're tired of hoodies that are stretched out, pilled out, gross, they're faded, they're heavy, upgrade yourself with a Paka.
Absolutely. It's one of the best upgrades I've made in a while. I have two of them. I have the original crew in Rosewood, which I couldn't love that color more. It's easy to dress up or dress down. And then I have the original hoodie in navy. So comfortable, versatile enough to wear in these hot summer months. Also, we're about to go on vacation to a cooler place, mm-hmm. and I'm taking my Pakas with us.
Paka yo Paka. Every time I have the woman's hoodie in sky blue, I have the original hoodie in green, and the essential scoop bralette. Don't sleep on their undergarments, too, and their socks.
Yes.
Their socks are lovely.
Their socks and the underwear, all of it is so comfy. They literally have you from head to toe.
Truly. Each one is handcrafted in Peru with the artisan's name stitched into the tag as a mark of quality and care. Shout out always to Olga and Rosemary for my shit. Over 100,000.
And Vilma C. Thank
Vilma,
you so much.
What up? Over 100,000 people have already picked up their pack of hoodies, not because it feels great, but because it's made sustainably and ethically from traceable alpaca fiber while supporting the communities that create it.
To grab your Paka hoodie, go to www.pakaapparel.com. That's www.pakaapparel.com.
Well, this next one is from Rocky, and the subject line is another Puerto Rico murder. Hey, y'all. Love you heaps. I heard Freaky Friday 226 and knew I had to write in to bring attention to another story of a murder that took place in Puerto Rico. Specifically, one of its small islands called Vieques. Many years ago, one of my best college friends moved to Vieques. She fell in love with the laid-back lifestyle, the beautiful beaches, the same things that draw thousands of tourists every year. She became close friends with a local man named Carlitos Cruz, who served as a beloved tour guide and a musical artist. He helped many people fall in love with the little island and its beauty. By all accounts, he was charming, friendly, and had a true passion for life, bringing joy wherever he went. On April 24th, 2024, an allegedly drunk tourist named Jeremy Randy Del Valle hit Carlitos, who was on his motorcycle with his rental car. Del Valle then kept driving with Carlitos's body on the windshield, fled the scene, and carried on with his vacation. Carlitos was dead, and this man went back to his Airbnb and kept partying like nothing happened. This story has floored me, again and again because of the clear failures of the legal system and the sheer length and outcome of the ongoing trial, with the sentencing repeatedly delayed. Del Valle confessed to the killing and is still walking free. I'm sharing this in hopes of bringing attention and awareness, as well as to ask for Heather's take on this. I'm not familiar with the law, but considering Puerto Rico is part of the United States, I would think a murder like this would be taken more seriously. Speaking of which, a reminder that Puerto Rico is still suffering from the effects of many hurricanes, receiving little to no aid from the U.S. government. Up until last year, the island of Vieques did not have a hospital, meaning you would have to charter an expensive plane ride or wait for a twice-a-day ferry to go to the mainland, then find a cab or Uber just to get medical treatment, give birth, etc. Sometimes the island simply runs out of water or loses power. If this were happening on the mainland U.S., people would be rioting in the streets. Puerto Ricans are an afterthought of our nation and should not be. I loved this year's Super Bowl halftime show because it celebrated this culture that has continued to thrive and spread joy in spite of these challenges. I also hope nobody hears this and feels they should not visit Vieques. I visited twice, and the Viequesians are some of the friendliest people you could ever hope to meet. It's not tourists who are often the problem. The island has one of the brightest bioluminescent bays in the world, and you can tour in a glass-bottom kayak. There's incredible food. I dream about mofongo regularly. And some really interesting architecture, a result of its colonization by several countries over the centuries. If you go, there is a beautiful mural at one of the island's main intersections with a portrait of Carlitos. I've included links to the Justicia para Carlitos website and Facebook page. The latter has current updates on the status of the case. Thank you for any light you can shed on this senseless crime in the beautiful island whose people deserve justice for so many reasons.
Did we have another Freaky Friday, or was this a famous case in the news? Probably a long time ago, but somebody hit a pedestrian and drove home and parked in their garage.
If I'm not mistaken, it was a nurse who maybe was under the influence and drove and parked in their garage. And I think the guy took more, I think he definitely died slowly over hours, if not multiple days, which is cruel and
like through horrifying. The windshield.
Yeah. Here's the
just
deal.
Just left in the garage.
If you hit someone, just stop the car and fix it right then. It's never going to get better if you wait. It's never, ever going to get better if you wait.
No.
So this is horrifying. I briefly looked up this case. The guy you're talking about, Del Valle, he was out on bond. They did say that he is residing locally near the jail in San Juan. And he pleaded guilty to a felony hit and run charge. So he has to stay accessible to the Puerto Rican justice system. But the defense has requested probation. The statutory mandatory minimum is 15 years. So I would assume it's that. They were supposed to sentence him like maybe a week or two ago, mid-August. And they said it's been delayed. The family and friends of Carlitos, everybody in the Justicia para Carlitos community shows up. And then they announce, well, there was a pre-sentencing report and it didn't get finished. So we'll have to come back September 3rd. So supposedly happening soon. So keep your eyes on that.
Yeah, that's really lovely that the city painted a mural in his honor. He sounds like he was beloved, and it sounds like a beautiful place. And I also loved the Super Bowl show.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that I've been to Puerto Rico. Paris went recently.
Yeah, he spent a summer there when he was a teen, and he just recently went back in June and said it was beautiful. And he's like, we got to go. And he loved Old San Juan. He went to San Juan for a conference and then went to Old San Juan. It was all the pictures were beautiful. The food. He brought home the green plantain flour, and he made me little fish cakes like patties.
Oh, nice. What's mofongo? Have you had that?
I don't think I've had mofongo. I remember
sounds
having
good, whatever it is.
My friend in college was Puerto Rican, and he loved tostones. Mofongo is a dish made from deep fried plantains mashed together with crispy pork skin. So chicharron, garlic, and olive oil. And then they ground it together. So it looks kind of like paella-ish. It looks really good. I loved those fish cakes he made. Yeah, tostones, any I'll try it. But just about anybody's food, I'm down to connect with anybody. If you want to fix me a plate, if you want to fix me a plate, we're gonna sit and talk.
But if it has capybara on it,
yeah,
it has capybara on it,
dude. Somebody was posting about how it is as if Ken Paxton was not bad enough. They were like, while he was in charge as Attorney General of Texas, he greenlit these research facilities that allowed puppies to be tested upon. I mean, James Tallarico goes, he literally doesn't care about the little guy, even if the little guy is a literal puppy. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I said, is this man no depths? He's testing on puppies. Is he eating capybara? Now, hang on a minute. Maybe we can forgive him for that. But the rest of it's unforgivable. But yeah, it's
that's wild.
No, he's a nightmare. But no, I agree. That halftime show, I like when it was not merely just, let's just wave the Puerto Rican flag. It was like, what makes Puerto Rico great? And it's the community, the art, the dancing, the actual foliage, you know, down to the mm-hmm. trees, and even the broken power lines, turning those into art. I think that's the most subversive and connective art mm-hmm. you can do.
I loved it. It was one of the best halftime shows I've seen. Mm-hmm. Very immersive, and you felt like you really got an authentic taste of what it is like in Puerto Rico, and I'm always trying to get a taste of Bad Bunny. So,
you know,
I'm never mad when Bad Bunny performs.
Fix me a plate of that. I'll take some nuggets of that.
Hey, you know what? I don't eat capybara. I do eat rabbit.
Tell you what I eat. I eat that Bad Bunny. I'll eat it up. For real though. But no, I thank you very much for not only bringing, you know, the beauty of Puerto Rico, VIK sounds beautiful. Sometimes when a country has a place like San Juan that's so famous and has become, I won't say like the face, it's like you come into the United States and you have New York City, which is awesome, but there's also some hidden gems. So thank you for sharing that with us. And I hope that Carlitos gets the justicia that his family and friends are asking
for. Yeah, for sure.
Sinister Hood will be right back.
In today's world, planning ahead isn't always top of mind, but not having life insurance can leave families facing difficult financial uncertainty during already emotional times. In many cases, loved ones are left managing expenses, debts, or long-term obligations without a clear plan in place. Life insurance is one way to help provide financial security and support when it's needed most. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote within seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online, and coverage options are flexible with up to $3 million available and some policies starting at around $30 a month. Ethos has also earned strong customer feedback with a 4.9 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot based on more than 5,500 reviews as of August 2026. Help protect your family with life insurance through Ethos. Get your instant quote today at ethos.com. That's ethos.com. Application times and rates may vary.
Well, this next one is called Dads and Dimes, and it's from Chelsea G. Hey, besties. After listening to Amanda's story on Freaky Friday 206, I decided I was going to write in with my eerily similar story. What finally made me sit down to start writing was listening to you ladies talk about hospice workers in Freaky Friday 210. I was literally cleaning my kitchen and started tearing up hearing your kind words. Being a hospice nurse is the most beautiful and rewarding job on earth. It's also hard, emotional, exhausting, and often thankless, as you said. I've been really struggling at my job lately, related to silly management issues, and have been entertaining the idea of changing fields, which I've never considered doing. So your words were exactly what I needed, exactly when I needed them. As to my original story in reaction to Amanda's, my dad also passed during COVID. Although my dad's passing was unrelated to COVID, the virus certainly made its impact. To add a bit of background, my dad had always struggled with addiction and was in and out of prison for a majority of my life. He was a truly flawed human, but he loved my sister and me. Before COVID hit, my grandmother, my sister, and I went to my dad's parole hearing to vouch for all the work he had done in prison to stay clean and to tell them he had a stable home to be released to. It was an emotional blur, and getting up to speak in front of a panel of people and crying was absolutely awful. But it worked. He was released from prison toward the end of March 2020. Because he was coming out of a high-risk group setting, and I was a nurse, I elected to wait 2 weeks before visiting him, just to be safe. almost 2 weeks to the day, my dad died in a car wreck, likely due to overdosing before drifting into traffic. I had a lot of feelings of guilt for not seeing him while he was out. I even wondered if I had done the right thing in helping him get released. Ultimately, I know he would rather have died free than staying incarcerated. Like so many of us during that time, my family was not able to properly grieve together. His funeral was so surreal and bizarre. We were only allowed to have a certain number of chairs 6 feet apart at the gravesite. Everyone else was 6 feet apart, scattered at a distance, or in their cars with the windows down. Again, I stood to speak at my dad's funeral, crying and feeling so physically isolated, when normally our family would be hugging and snotting all over each other. On the other side of the same coin, I was a hospice nurse and was often one of the only visitors some of my patients were allowed to have. COVID truly was a horrific fever dream. Since my dad and my grandfather's sudden deaths occurred close together, my Catholic, conservative, Southern meemaw started dabbling hard into psychics, visitation dreams, etc. She told me that finding dimes was my dad and grandfather reaching out to us. We find them everywhere and send each other pictures when we do. Thank you so much for reading, and thank you for providing a platform for this beautiful community of loving people to share their lives with each other. Chelsea G.
Oh, Chelsea, I'm so sorry. You're right. COVID was a fever dream, especially for people that lost people either to COVID or to other things, but not being able to be there in someone's last moments. And I remember people having to FaceTime their loved ones that were about to be taken off of life support. And like you said, the funerals where no one could really physically comfort each other and, you know, or pay the respects that they may want to. And it was such a hard time. And I still don't think as a society and globally, we've really unpacked how much that fucked us all up. And probably, I don't know that we ever can.
No.
It did things to us that will forever have an impact. And no matter like kind of where you were during that time, age-wise, it impacted everyone differently. I hope that you were able to give yourself some grace and not beat yourself up that you weren't, that you hadn't seen him before his death, because you were doing what you were supposed to do for health safety, you know, waiting 2 weeks to make sure you were okay before seeing him. So, man, what unfortunate timing. But he knew how much you all cared about him because you had fought so hard for him at that parole hearing. So he knew how much he was loved.
Most definitely. I think that's what we can always comfort ourselves of, like, how did I treat this person? What did I do for them? And when he needed you, you showed up and you were there. And you're right. I think anybody at that time, if you March of 2020 to get out of prison in March of 2020 is about the best time you could have got out before you saw so many super spreader events and God knows what might have happened to him, you know, had he stayed in. So I think we can never know what path we would have chosen. I think you just have to take comfort in all the times you had before that. And especially like Christy said, you showing up for him and doing what you thought you had to do to protect your patients. Cause man, God bless you for not just being a hospice nurse, which is so vital, we talked about before, and important, but also, man, during the pandemic, any kind of healthcare worker during the pandemic, but the fact that people were having to say goodbye through windows, through, you know, corridors, waving or whatever.
Calls.
And if you're the one that's holding that hand, there's just a special place in the greatest of great beyonds for you and for everybody that did that. Cause that gives the families, you know, what you maybe couldn't have with, you know, having been with your dad, you got to a thousandfold, you know, do that for other folks. So the gratitude that I'm sure all those families feel towards you, I will express on their behalf. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. It means, like we heard in that Freaky Friday, where we kind of got the two perspectives of the car accident and the nurse that had stopped, but and was trying to flag down someone. And then we heard from his friend that he hadn't stopped, but the family of the victim knew that someone had been there in their last moments, and there's definitely some comfort in that. So you have one of the hardest jobs I could ever imagine having, and like you said, also the most rewarding. And it's a heavy burden to carry, that line of work, and I couldn't thank all of our hospice workers enough, especially during COVID and any type of medical frontline people during COVID. It was a nightmare.
Right. I was like, we cheered for them daily during COVID. Just cheer for them daily every day.
Yeah.
You know, none of us are doing that job and somebody's got to do it. So thank you very much for showing up and for doing
for
that.
Sure.
May dimes rain upon you in all the times and the moments that you need, that you just reach in your pocket and one's there, one's behind your ear when you least expect it.
Absolutely. And getting to send those pictures back and forth with your grandma and sister is a nice way that y'all can always connect forever. Mm-hmm. It's like y'all's little thing.
And keeps their memory alive. You know, they die once when they pass away and they die again when you say their name for the last time. So
that's what they told us on Coco.
It's true. And until the government takes our dimes away after they already took our pennies away, we still have time to remember them. But after that, the next coin, I'm going nuts.
Yeah.
The pennies were quarters? Bad enough. What am I going to flip?
The quarters?
Decision.
Yeah. Or put into, I don't know, like a claw machine or a bubblegum machine or one of those other machines that spits out a little toy.
It's a whole fun part of it. What do you want me to rub my cell phone on a square? How
that's
exciting.
Yeah.
No, and I can't throw them
in. Twist the lever.
Is there something visceral about a machine?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Well, thank you. Thank you, Chelsea. Sinister Hood, we'll be right back.
In today's world, planning ahead isn't always top of mind, but not having life insurance can leave families facing difficult financial uncertainty during already emotional times. In many cases, loved ones are left managing expenses, debts, or long-term obligations without a clear plan in place. Life insurance is one way to help provide financial security and support when it's needed most. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote within seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online, and coverage options are flexible with up to $3 million available and some policies starting at around $30 a month. Ethos has also earned strong customer feedback with a 4.9 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot based on more than 5,500 reviews as of August 2026. Help protect your family with life insurance through Ethos. Get your instant quote today at ethos.com. That's ethos.com. Application times and rates may vary.
This final one is from Whitney B., and the subject line is, "Look for me again." Whitney writes, "I've always been sensitive to energy, spirits, and things I can't quite explain. At the same time, there's a sacred part of me that has one very firm boundary with the universe. Please don't. If there's something out there, cool. I respect you. I believe you. But respectfully, please stay over there. Except the other night, apparently that boundary was ignored. I had a dream about my childhood friend, Matt. We had fallen out of touch maybe 8 years ago, possibly a little less. I knew that he had struggled with addiction and that life had not always been easy for him. But eventually, life happened, years passed, and we lost contact. In this dream, I was at a hotel getting food when Matt walked up to me and said, 'Hey, Whitney! Oh my God, how are you? It's been so long!' I remember looking at him and saying, 'Wow, Matt, it has been such a long time. How are you?' And he said something that I didn't understand at the time. He said, 'I've been good now. Look for me again. It was good seeing you.' And then he started walking away. As he left, he turned and said it again, 'Look for me again.' And that was it. I woke up the next morning, but the strange thing was that it didn't feel like I had been asleep for hours. It felt like the dream had happened 10 seconds earlier. It was incredibly vivid. Not just one of those dreams where you wake up remembering random pieces. It felt real. Still, I got up and went about my morning. I was making my coffee when suddenly I heard very clearly and very loudly, 'Matt.' Nothing else, just his name. At that point, I literally said out loud, 'Okay, okay, I'm looking.' Originally, I thought I should search for him on social media, just maybe see where he was, what he was doing, whether I could find him. But then something in me said, 'Look for his obituary.' That thought stopped me. I searched, and there it was. Matt had died in May 2025. My heart sank. Suddenly, the words from my dream felt completely different. 'I've been good now. Look for me again. I knew Matt struggled during his life. I knew addiction had been part of his story. I knew this would sometimes feel like a lot for him. I knew this world sometimes felt like a lot for him. Finding out that he was gone hurt deeply. But strangely, alongside the sadness was this overwhelming sense of relief. Not relief that he had died, relief that wherever or whatever comes after this life, he wasn't struggling anymore. I can't tell you exactly what happened that night. Maybe my subconscious remembered something I had forgotten. Maybe it was an extraordinary coincidence. Maybe there are things about dreams, consciousness, energy, and grief that we simply don't understand yet. Or maybe an old friend found me one more time. I would like to believe that he came to me again. I don't know. What I do know is that I hadn't known Matt was dead when I went to sleep. I dreamed that he found me. He told me he was good now. He told me twice to look for him. The next morning, something compelled me to search his obituary instead of his social media. And that was how I found out my childhood friend had been gone for more than a year. So apparently, my lifelong policy of, "Dear spirits, I love and respect you, but please don't," has a Matt exception now. Because if that really was you, Matt, I looked, and I'm glad you found me first.
There's something powerful about dreams, and I agree. I think there's just some things we don't know or understand, and this sounds like one of those times. I have dreams all the time that stick with me and feel very, very real, pretty much nightly. I like can still feel the one I had a month ago.
Oh, wow.
Or even last night. So it's can be like unsettling almost in a way where I'm like, but I want to get back to that place and I can only get there when I'm dreaming. So how can I like, I guess this is when you, I'm talking about astral projection,
yeah,
you gotta like, or even dream. More than lucid dreaming, yeah. Like being able to like OBE. Get back to a specific dreamscape where you might see him again, because you're like, that felt so real. I want that to like be something more tangible that I can hold on to. And maybe it's not in this realm, maybe, you know, but something told you where to look and he found you in your dream, which, you know, you hadn't thought about him in a while. So I think there's stuff we don't know that ties all this together.
No, I think so too, especially how dreams, you know, factor in. I'm not entirely sure, but that seems to be something happened to us when we're unconscious. And as far as you being at a hotel when he walked up to you, I have dreams of being in a hotel. Other people have dreams.
Same.
Check out the three Bob Monroe books, The Journeys Out of the Body, and I can't remember all the names of them, but there's three of them in order. But he talks about different dreamscapes. One of them looks kind of like Central Park. One of them looks more like an office building. And then going to them intentionally, or going to meet people, or intentionally putting a signal up for people. So like you said, Whitney, you know, you weren't going to sleep going, maybe I'll see Matt in my dreams tonight. Mm-hmm. But wherever Matt was, he was like, well, can I go tell Whitney I'm okay? And it's, you know, however that works, he was able to come by and find you. So I've had two or three visitation dreams that felt like the person was like standing next to me. But for the most part, my dreams, I'm like, I know I'm dreaming. This is all just made up anyway. I don't know. That's how I feel in real life too. So maybe it just carries over to my dream. I'm like, eh, whatever. But no, I feel like these type of dreams where you're like the next day feel impelled by it. Like Christy said, it sticks with you. You think about it. It's more than just a passing, like I was lifting boxes in my dream or whatever. It was something like a meaningful connection. Write them down and make notes of them. And it might be later you figure out like, oh my gosh, it just so happens he visits, you know, cyclically. It happens in the seasons. Yeah. It happens on the moon or whatever. But check out Bob Monroe's book. You might be interested in it just insofar as intentionally trying to have your consciousness leave your body to go into a dream, a specific place, and in some cases meet a specific person. So I don't know.
I'm going to check it out too.
Dude, it's good stuff, man. He knows what he's talking about, that old man.
He
he's
does.
Dead now,
he
but
does.
He's
does,
probably
does.
Listening. He's up in the corner.
I don't know. Would
I
we
just
see
think
him?
About him
maybe.
Floating.
Maybe not.
I think he sees you. Yeah.
He sees us.
Yeah,
do
he
we
sees
see
us.
Him.
He's like, I think, man, if I'm not remembering wrong, I think they could paint you. Like,
oh, just that?
Like, well, like, or get you really, because it's like, they're not corporeal. So I think it takes like a lot of motion to get your, maybe like a pinch or a poke. I don't know. It's been a minute since I read it. So I got to go back.
Well, I'm going to agree with Whitney that some things just please don't. Please don't poke me or pinch me.
I think too, from a magical perspective, like Damien Eccles' High Magic book, there's something to this, Whitney, truly to your, that's like a word sort of for yourself being like, this is a boundary I've set. I will not have this. And keep on that. And maybe, you know, there's maybe sigils or I don't know, stuff you can light to keep it even more. But if you say, except Matt, he's cool. These homies can, you have like a VIP list.
Yeah.
Like my consciousness like is like a club. Yeah. My consciousness is a club.
Are you on the list?
Exactly. If you're not,
you're not getting in.
Get out of here and stay out. But yeah. Well, I hope he sees you again.
Yes. Thank you, Whitney. And thank you to everybody that sent in your Freaky Friday stories today. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday. Speaking of freaky, got something creepy caught on camera, found a weird or unexplainable clip online? Maybe you just have a funny video you want us to see. Send it our way and we'll live react to it during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream over on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. It's completely free. You just put in your email. You get immediate access to the always poppin' chat, the videos before they have to be edited for YouTube, and just a bunch of new fun stuff we're doing where we just talk about whatever you all want to talk about in the chat. I mean, we talked about
French kissing.
A laundry list of things this past time. And then we reserved the in for some videos. If you can't make it, then we're also putting that audio out on Mondays now. So you can kind of catch up on your way to work.
Yeah. Listen and just kind of listen to us having a good time bullshitting and show up next time and do it with us. That's the fun part is like talking to y'all in the chat and throwing, you know, if we're having a conversation, it's like 100-some-odd person conversation. It's way more fun that way.
Yeah.
So we hope to see y'all.
Absolutely. Well, if you like our free episodes like the one you just heard, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next or dive into over 1,000 hours of content like Judge Christie, where I rule on petty grievances you bring before the court. True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime. Heather Saves, or anything Heather has found late night scrolling can be discussed. And Am I the Asshole, Unpopular Opinions, and other subreddits that we feel require our input.
We also offer free trials where you join for a week at any of the tiers. Check out all the perks. You can watch our live Q&A replay from last night. We had such a great time. You cancel any time before the week, before that trial is over, and you won't get charged. You just get to watch and have stuff for free. You can hang out for free, get that free content, or join for a join at a tier and do it an annual membership. You get 1 month free and a bunch of stuff all year long.
You get ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, quarterly live stream bonus content, all those segments we just mentioned. We let you all vote on what you want to see. You get weekly audio bonus content, mini-sodes, merch discounts, and a community of the best listeners on the whole internet.
Head over to sinisterhood.com and click on shop on the top banner to check out merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show. Thank you so much for all the kind words and 5 stars. You can submit topics and cases you'd like us to cover, your Freaky Friday stories, your things for Sunday Scaries, and you'll find fun things like topic-based playlists. So you can send your friends and family certain episodes that you think they will like.
Not to mention Crime Wave at Sea 2027. Information is on our website. There's maybe just a handful of cabins left.
I think it's sold out.
Oh, it's sold out now. Sorry.
Someone said they tried to get tickets and it's sold out. So
Well, we'll see.
I don't know. That was what I heard. So please try still. If you're able to
go,
get them.
Email them and beg them. Maybe they can let you on. I don't know.
Yeah.
But if you the info's on there and we hope to see you on there. The ones that already have your cabins. Let's do it.
It's going to be so much fun.
Burr, burr. Let's set sail. You can find us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us over on YouTube and TikTok at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from the episodes, live streams, and more. And if you are looking for a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, maybe you want to treat yourself to a pep talk. Book a cameo now, from happy birthday to birth announcements to congratulations on whatever it is you've done. We would love to celebrate with you by creating a customized video that can be immediately viewed and sent. It's a thoughtful gift. It's great for yourself if you're looking for a little pick-me-up, and it's also something you can get without leaving the comfort of your air conditioning. Go to the website on a computer, cameo.com/sinisterhood, to get the best possible price, and we will see you on the app. Where can people find you on the internet?
I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm infecting cyberspace everywhere at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
Sinisterhood.